Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show.
Candid Frank Live.
With
about half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill.
John the Argo Boat Logo Granger.
Candid Frank Live.
Christopher Lion's Den Jones. Mike. The CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend. Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale. Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medin. And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch. Here we go. Great program for you tonight. I asked if John would volunteer to host the show tonight. And the prima donna says to me, Frank, I don't do it like this. I'm a professional. I don't want just 45 minutes to get ready to host the show.
Are you talking about Christopher Jones again? Don't talk about him like that. Come on, Frank.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, listen, in all seriousness, I want to make this a public record here. I asked John first because he's the guy who's been in this the longest. He's been the guy who's had my back the longest time and the most, and that's why I offered it to him. And I want to say this out loud, John, because I don't want anybody to think that that was a serious comment. I wouldn't do that to anybody except John.
I know. Thanks. Yeah, half an hour before the show. You want to do the show yourself tonight, John? I don't know, Frank.
I figured you could go on after that big thing about Khalif Mitchell being such an integral part of the team defense.
I know, eh?
And then,
I know.
And then, what's this sound here? That's him being sucked out of the Argo lineup.
And that's me going, wah, wah, wah. It's
joke
a
on you.
Biggie. Oh, it's a biggie. It's a doozy. And, you know, I couldn't understand it when we got them, and I can't understand it when we lost them. All right? There's, you know, I just don't get it. I don't get it. So there's a lot to this than is on the surface here. And I don't think it's going to be known for a while, just like, you know, we didn't know about his real feelings about not wanting to leave the West Coast and so forth and so on. So, I don't know, Frank. Big loss.
Woo! Supposedly, this was the real reason is my throat's been really taking a beating, and I got this cold. Man, the cold. Here it is, the end of the winter, and I end up with this cold. And I'm telling you, I probably swallowed at least four or five rolls of all.
Hey, your sex life, keep it out of this. All right, never mind your throat, your swallow. Frank,
careful, you're
going to
get Danny laughing. Don't get Danny laughing, because once Danny starts laughing, it's over.
Uh-oh. All right, we won't do that. No laughing on this show. Serious stuff.
Go.
Yeah,
have
no
a good
having
time.
Fun.
No having
no
fun.
No having fun. That's right,
no,
Chris.
No having
exactly.
fun.
Yes. Go,
Chris,
Frank,
how's it going?
Go.
Different number
I'm
today.
I'm wonderful. Well, it's always different with Skype.
Oh, okay. No, not really. You come in with basically the same number.
Really? Oh, interesting.
Yeah, same area code, even though there is no area code, if you know what I mean. Today it's 714.
Yeah.
Usually it's 651 or 631 or 613, something like that. 631, I think. It confuses me with Rob J. Emery.
I have no idea where it comes from.
It matters not. Now,
please don't confuse me with Bob, okay?
You weren't here last time, so I guess I should give you a chance because you had an interesting
early
retirement, man. Angus Reid retired.
That's a sad day. Angus was a good guy, on and off the field, more off the field than on. It's unfortunate that he went out the way that he did with a ruptured vertebrae or whatever they all are in the back there, a disc, ruptured disc, had him out for all of last season. It's a terrible way for a good man to go down. It's like Calvillo. I feel bad for him because he didn't finish the season on a high, right?
Well, he didn't finish the season, never mind a high.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying is he didn't finish his career by playing and saying, you know what, we just won the Grey Cup, I'm going to step down. And,
yeah, Chris, but you know what, that's kind of a dream scenario for every player,
everyone.
I suppose. Yeah, everyone, but we don't hear about the 95% that never get that, and he's one of those guys. But you know what he did do? He got to play a lot, and he had a good career. I mean, it's just sad that he's leaving, but nothing sad about the guy himself.
Not at all.
Yeah, no, I think in reality, you're going to get some fresh bodies in there, and some guys thought that.
Did you hear who's replacing him?
No, who?
Rolly Lambala, our fullback.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like this. This is not fair, Chris. We're losing Khalif, and you're getting good guys. No, okay, this is wrong. We have the same owner. I know who he's putting the money and the thought and all the power to.
Well,
okay,
John, all the money's got to go to the Grey Cup.
You guys lost Khalif last
week. Hang on. Oh, yeah, sorry. No fun stuff. Sorry, I didn't mean to joke. Go ahead. Sorry, Chris. Go.
You lost Khalif last year before he even started. Okay,
true.
Part of the agreement for him going to Toronto was that he was – Barker would release him at the end of the season so that he could try out the NFL.
Good point. I don't
it's not nice knowing
it,
and everything else,
record,
but, you know, it's
John.
Reality.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
It's a matter of public record. That's exactly what is out there, that all that's going on here is an agreement that was had before. But then
that
again,
doesn't mean he's not coming back.
Yeah. That's just
another
one of you guys.
I don't
that could
know.
Come out.
He's not coming back. He's not coming back.
Do you think he can work? You think he can get a job in the NFL?
I don't. I'm not sure if it's an NFL thing, guys. I mean, I'm hoping that's all it is. I know it's got to be something where he's just going to try something out in the West. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
he's not going to.
He didn't want to leave BC because he didn't want to leave the West Coast.
Right.
And that's simple. And I mean, he went to the NFL. He actually got a contract down there, and he refused it because he wanted to stay playing for the Lions. And then he came up here, and he acted like a complete ass for a year. And I'm sorry for that word, but it's true. And he lost his shot on that team. And that's basically it. I mean, I think it had a lot to do with the way that he presented himself, but the fact that he didn't take responsibility for his actions. And I think that really soured a lot of people.
He might have had a different character when he was with BC, but his play, you know, I mean, I liked him on BC. I loved him on Toronto. What he does in the field, he was a better maybe personality, if you want to call that, as far as when he came to Toronto. He's a little bit of a different person. But as far as his play on the field goes, I mean, I was about to get his jersey, but, you know, I still got the old Mitchell Mookie's. I'm thinking I can wear the double, switch the names, the numbers, nah. But now I don't have to worry about that, and it's sad because I was going to get his jersey. I mean, you know,
his play on the field was second to none in this league.
He was
awesome. But his shenanigans on the field
with BC
were not acceptable. With BC.
Yeah,
in Toronto, he cleaned up his act and he played a good game.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I understand you missing him.
Yeah.
Okay? We weren't. We didn't. We didn't miss him when he left BC because of the way that, you know, the giving himself a cross and giving him the throat cutting thing at the same time.
Yeah.
And then denying it. You know, okay, I'm an idiot. Yeah, I was trying to slide one by, but to say, no, I wasn't doing that. No. Man up and take responsibility. You know? You only have honor. That's the only thing that you have on yourself that you can control yourself. Nobody can take away from you is your honor, and he screwed that up.
He screwed that up in BC, definitely. I mean, I wish him well. I just don't like it when they say no reason for it. Usually, you know, something leaks out as far as what the reason was, and I heard about all the other reasons when they said just released with no reason. You know, Argos didn't release nothing as far as reason or cause. But I kind of found out. This one here, can't find nothing out about it. So that's
not directly.
I'm thinking,
not directly.
Right, right. So,
well, I mean, even TSN is saying that he was released to seek NFL.
Is that what they said? I haven't seen that yet. So, okay.
Yeah, and,
It's public knowledge,
John. Is saying that it was a prearranged agreement with Barker when he came to Toronto, was that at the end of the season he was going to be released so that he could go after the NFL. I don't know why it took them so long to do this, because I think that he should have been released probably a month or two ago.
Yeah, no,
but,
Chris.
I think the timing's off here.
Yeah, no, there's something different about this one. This is not the same one like in the previous three. Like I said, usually there's a little bit of a different buzz I hear about something. Here I heard nothing, and it's just poof. I mean, what teams? I haven't even heard a rumor before on what teams were being interested in him. Oakland? That's all I can think. San Diego does not looking for him. You know, I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, that's the sad
thing. He would fit in with the 49ers.
I don't know if the 49ers need...
I'm not saying they need him. I'm saying that he would fit in there with his attitude.
I think it would be Oakland where he would fit in more than the Niners. Niners are a pretty good team.
Seattle, too.
Yeah, that's another good coach there, too. But anyways, guys, that's for me, it's not a good thing. I think our defense has got a lot of holes in it now.
Without question.
Danny Salonen thinks that it's a smart move because it's one of those Casey Printers things.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you mean?
Casey Printers isn't happy. Casey Printers isn't happy, and he wants to go. I think this is what Danny means, because I'm reading it off Facebook, right? And he thinks Barker's a smart guy, so he's just basically saying, you know what, you don't want to be here, then, you know, you're not here. It's fine. But I think Danny's reading into it further, you know, that maybe Barker might not let him come back. Or he will, you know, like Casey Printers
right
in D.C.
I think Danny's 100% right about the fact that he realizes Barker's a smart guy. I have total faith in Jim Barker. I think he's been the best thing so far for the Argos and putting teams together, knowing how to get the right pieces in, and including removing himself of being one of those vital pieces, controlling the field. So I have faith in what he's doing. I think, you know, when they got him, we were impressed. We were shocked, and, he did his job, and I think they're going to do the right job and replace him. I mean, there's so many combines I'm reading about going on. Holy crap.
There's so much
guys.
So much talent out there.
Yeah, it's the CFL interest, you know.
I hate to say this, you know, and you're right, 100%, John, and I'm sorry I cut you off there.
No, that's all right.
The interest in the CFL is massive right now. You should see this, the indoor group that Mike Townsend and myself are hosting.
Yeah.
We have 2,500 members in there. Like, I'm like two members short of 2,500 right now. They're all asking, what's going on? How can I get into the CFL? How can I do this? Yeah, I know most of them aren't worthy of playing, but you know what? A lot of them are. And I'm looking at their film, and they are ripping it up. And there's so much interest in the CFL, and I'd love to say that it's because Mike and myself are out there promoting the CFL so much. I'm not that arrogant, so I can't honestly say that, but I'd love to think that I had
every little bit helps, and you know, it now with social media, it just kind of, it's spider webs all over, and of course you're a vital part. I think, you know, what Frank is doing here is a vital part. Anything that creates some sort of communication, some sort of link or a comment or a posting dealing with CFL is vital. Anytime you talk about it, it just creates interest. Somebody read something about it, something that we didn't know about before. All these things are important. These are the kind of fans that the CFL needs, is people who get involved. And you're involved. And, you know, even an American Mike Townsend, I mean, you know, we Canadianize him when he does things like this and you guys do this. So it's all good, people, and everybody should be proud of anything that they do as far as involvement. And the fact that you guys, you got these guys, you know, looking up your site and trying to get some sort of feedback how they can get involved, well, that in itself is a pat in the back, Mike and Chris. So it's all good stuff. No, no, you don't have to be humble about it. It's a good thing, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And you too, Frank.
I love asleep. What Frank does.
Yeah, I know. He's gone to sleep. So this is where we this is where we scare him and we just hang up.
That would
there's
be
a,
funny.
There's a big chance for that
See?
Too, isn't there?
See?
There's a big chance for that too. Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, that'll happen.
No, yeah, not
I would
really.
Never be so unlucky.
Well, anyways, boys, it's something kind of bothering me that there isn't a lot more on the CFL pages, you know, as far as CFL.ca. I expect a lot more talk going on. Even Reebok is a little bit quiet, considering they're the major, you know, sponsor and carries their jerseys and stuff. It was a little bit more noisier last year with the Grey Cup going to Saskatchewan. You know, they were even talking about it around this time. I'm saddened by the fact
you
that
think?
We don't hear. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. I
don't think there was that much going on. In fact, it was almost like a morgue between free agency and the draft.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know,
oh, let me tell
and our CFL group, I was like grasping at straws trying to keep the people engaged and keep them going and things. And, I mean, that's where I got in a lot of the trouble with the writers because I was just picking on them to start conversations.
Yeah, Chris, I remember I was getting my info when Frank and I were trying to, you know, we were producing and getting information and stuff, and I was getting a lot off of TSN.ca and stuff going on the CFL all the time. I'm not seeing it as much. I mean, there's so much sports content out there right now that – right now, they just kind of squeeze it into a certain time frame. I think it had a lot to do with the Olympics taking a lot of their, you know, media, sports media over there, and they're still there doing some of the Paralympics coverage and stuff, so maybe not so much. Because when the writers and the reporters are sitting around, then they kind of grasp another interest in a different story, which will be CFL stories. So I'm, you know, I heard a little bit about the why we don't hear as much. It is a little bit quiet, a little bit. Here in Toronto, we hear a little muffle here and there. But even the Argos are keeping low key. You know, I'm not.
John, that's a different reason, John. The Argos are. I'm going to jump in here.
No
now.
Advertisement.
The quietness
I'm talking about
that you're referring to. Yeah, no, John. But it's all the same thing. They're going like they're letting. I really believe that you've been right that they're going to sell a team. I suspected they would because I couldn't see MLSC keeping their hands off it because they had the soccer team and the two stadiums. But I really believe that right now what they're going to do is they're going to run the team into the ground. I'm beginning to think this. They're letting it run into the ground. They're going to start from scratch. They're going to bring in a whole – I really have this horrible feeling that they're going to literally start do what the Leafs did. When Burke came to start, remember, and he was gone, he was history. And that basically sent the message to everybody, new rules, and we're going to see a big move up top with the Argos just to establish there's going to be new rules with the Argos.
Where?
Not as long as Braley is owning them.
I'm saying they're gonna buy the team. All this quietness is all about nobody doing business until – the other shoe drops. Everybody's waiting for this thing with the Argos, and you know, and that's what it's all about. Here
well,
in Toronto,
on,
I don't mean everywhere.
Hold on,
you know, I mean,
hold on. As far as big moves at the top, you're talking about GM moves and
I mean the very top.
Well, the very top is
they're
going to
buy
out.
The team.
Hold on. The very top of the Argos is signing out on this knowingly that this is happening to him because he was hired to temporarily just come in. He's overpaid, by the way, for the position, Frank. Let's get that straight. What he's been doing for the last 2 years is barely digging it into his pockets and paying Chris, first of all, to represent and represent properly and sell the team. So his position is given. If the conditions are Braley style, he's not going to let the front office just poof disappeared. You know, he's going to filter
them.
That's not
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they're going to. There's a linchpin.
It certainly is what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Okay. Here,
like
let me try to say it again. Remember how they let go of Burke with the Leafs?
Yes.
They're
going to
do
GM
something
Barker?
Like that. It'll be something that basically says no. It'll be something that says the new kid in town.
No, not there. Not there. No, I don't think so, Frank. Because
I didn't
let me tell you
say
why.
Where, John. I haven't said where. I still haven't said where. It could be the GM. It'll be. We'll put it this way. If
Lewinsky
it's the GM,
style, right.
A vice president, or a president.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
Any of those
Lewinsky
people.
Lewinsky style is to put his own piece in it. Okay, and he has done with the Raptors, and of course he's more or less letting the things happen with the Leafs. But I heard that he was already in charge of the move with the Burke thing. You know what I mean? That was already pictured in the future for him. He wanted that cleared up. But maybe you got some point. I just don't. You know, with the Argos themselves on the field, the pieces are right. With the front office, the pieces are right. They just need a little bump and help. Okay. That's where the MLSC comes
you
in.
You really
think
that somebody's going to take over a piece of property and not put their own paint color in? You
well,
really
they
think
have
that?
To, Frank, but listen,
you really
Braley
think
style
that?
Is this. Listen, Braley
no.
style is this. He's not going to sell. He's not going to sell to anybody. He's going to sell to a team, an organization that's going to listen to his conditions on the way he wants to be left out. The people who have followed him up to this point have supported him and stuck in the office and the front and the management are going to be guaranteed something where they morph them out of this.
No, I understand that, John. But there's always one person. There's always somebody that's going to walk down the plank. They don't
have
to like
the president. There's going to be a new president. I mean, you know, like I said, Chris is part of the conditions of selling this team. I can't see him unless he really – he might be maybe a bigger picture with MLSC. You know,
yes.
He might be getting
yes.
involved.
Yes.
You know, so
– well, especially yeah. if they're interested in all those special events they want to take care of. The guy's right up in his wheelhouse. You know,
well,
he
yeah.
ran the Olympics.
True.
He ran the Grey
True.
Cup in Toronto. Yeah, that's already a given. I think that's a given. Knowing him and knowing the situation, he'll work well within MLSC. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that he held hands with them a little bit better in a different way, further in the same way he's been actually with the Argos. You know, he doesn't jump in the foreground much. You know,
right.
he only shows up in the foreground when stuff bad happens, like when the mayor did the Argo and the mayor Argo thing happened. Then you see Chris Rudge. You know, then
right.
you see him because he's got to do some fence mending and or, you know, say something official. You know,
right?
I like your mayor. I like your mayor.
Yeah, I know.
He's got
Everybody
charisma.
Loves. Yeah, he's got charisma, right? He's got charisma.
Yeah. You know what?
Anyway, so the Argos, they're going to go through some changes. And Steve Myers has sent in. He says, you know, MLSC is waiting for the stuff to hit the fan and TO. In other words, devalue the team so that they can get it for nothing. Then they'll start
right.
from scratch. New management, GM, the works. Even Ray is not safe. That's an opinion.
Oh,
well,
that's an
yeah.
opinion. It's an opinion.
If Ray's not safe, then whoever's running it's an idiot.
Yeah. And unless they can do what they did with the TFC, break this $100 million salaries and bring in an NFL, I mean, they're not going to do that. They're going to let the things run the way they are on the field, the way they've been going, which is good. And I'm impressed with it. I don't think they should change that. I think, like I said, the Argos need the help in spreading the word in Toronto in the proper way. And making it part of the atmosphere and the attention, and they will. That's part of all their shtick in buying them is that they're going to show themselves when they have them at BMO, not really at Rogers. At Rogers,
yeah, no
you
kidding.
Know, if they're going to own them for the next year in Rogers, so that's going to.
They got
I wonder
no
what
choice.
Kind of things, Yeah, and you know what? I'm interested in seeing if they're going to invest any money. Because last year, let's be frank, they cheaped us out. I mean, not even a little tiny Grey Cup little banner on banner night season opener. And I don't care, Argo front office, I'm staying on the air, and I've given you guys crap about it all year, and Chris knows about it, so is Bedford. It's embarrassing, and especially Carlos, I love you, man, but drop the ball. Everybody, game day, organization, director, and all that stuff, they all dropped the ball. Gave out nothing, all right? So I wasn't impressed, and that's a shame. So hopefully things like that will change. A little appreciation in the next 3 years or 2 years, depending on how the rentals go. And by the way, I'm not hearing TFC fans being too happy about not having a playing field for maybe a year. Did you hear about that, Frank?
But, well, you know, I know. Yeah. And you know what? It's funny. It's almost like they're stunned.
I know.
Well, you know what I mean? There was more arguing about the thought of that happening. But now that it's happening and they're hearing it for real, it's like they're in shock. They can't believe that somebody would have the nerve to move in on that field.
Yeah, well, like I said, they're a little bit shocked, and again, I'm a little bit shocked with what they did last year.
We're talking about a small minority of people who make a lot of noise. You know, it's the same in every group. You know, the Argos and TFC they both play football. You get both versions of football. Enjoy it in the same place.
Okay, but let me tell you something about TFC, Frank. And I know we say small majority of people, and I got to beg to differ on that. Again, I'm a TFC fan, all right? And I have deep roots with them. I do favor Argos 100% more. But let me tell you, 106,000 followers on Facebook is not a small following. I mean, it's a good following, and I'm part of that following. And they got a good supporter section.
John, that I don't think that's what Frank said.
What?
I think he says there's a small part of that 106,000 that are complaining.
Well, not a small part. A lot of them are complaining, Chris. A lot of them are. We're just hearing
the
louder ones. The louder ones are getting the attention on the media, which they usually don't. They filter them out. But now the louder ones are really going out there, and the ones who are, let's put it this way, in certain positions where they get the attention of people and MLSC, and maybe for the wrong reasons they got that easy route to them, but they do get their attention, and that's why for some reason or another we're hearing all these apologies to the TFC fans and excuses that we're not trying to harm you or make the fan experience worse for you, blah, blah. Why apologize? All this is a plus for them. It's going to be their stadium with more seats in it, so for their viewing, and they're not going to lose the end zone.
Yep.
They're not, you know, it's frivolous crying, really, what it is. And he's guaranteeing covering all of them. So there's a canopy that extends over that extension in the end zone. You know, they retract it and they put it out. It's a lot of money to put out a retractable canopy and stands. So they're going a long way to please the Red Patch Boys and their fan base and stuff like that. So they shouldn't be crying, Frank. You're right. But they do have a good voice. And it's too bad. It's too bad that the Argo voice isn't as loud here. I mean, we're loud, you know, as loud as can be. But, you know, besides Frank and I and, you know, maybe about a couple hundred other ones that really kind of voice themselves, the atmosphere has to build, and Rogers Center, we got to get the hell out of there as soon as possible. The way the Reds fans have a following is the way the Argo fans will have a following once we get into a better stadium. Simple as that. 25,000, they'll be in demand, guarantee you. Guarantee you, they're going to say, why didn't we build 30 for the Argos? It's going to turn that way, guys. It's all good. I'm loving it. Loving it.
Yeah. Also, Steve Myers also says he can't wait till MLSC takes over the Argos. Right now, there's zero CFL Argos talk coming out of Toronto-centric media.
Zero.
You see, he understands. And he understands, and he's a Ticat fan, so you know, he understands, you know, he understands the situation. It's very simple, you know, the popularity of a sport. Yeah, it's true, you know, the popularity of a sport is self-propelled sometimes, but the media can do a lot towards helping, you know, something be popular. Without the media on your side, you don't stand much of a chance of being really successful.
True enough.
Okay.
In reality, the media in Vancouver hurts the Lions more than they do them any good.
Well, we have the same problem here.
Yeah.
We have the exact same problem here.
Well, what do they do there, Chris? Do they follow the Canucks? Is that what the...
It's all about those idiot Canucks, yes. Everything about it. You open up the sports page in the middle of the off season, you'll have six pages on the Canucks and somebody's picking their nose and somebody's going off to this charity event and somebody's doing this. And the Lions are like in first place and undefeated, and you get half a page.
Yeah, that's even crazier than in Toronto. You know, that it is crazier. That's nuts. That's embarrassing because, you know, if anything else, we got the stupid excuse with the Jays and the Raptors and all the, you know, even the Marlies, you know, interfere with the and all the concerts and stuff. But it's terrible if they're doing that. It's awful. I figured they would be grasping at having other coverage besides the Canucks.
They've had the same that we've had, and they've even had the Olympics. They know the difference between and this. Smack me if you want. Anybody can smack me. What happens with the media is they interpret what they consider big time. And Vancouver's had plenty of opportunity to see what, and I'm doing air quotes here, what the big time looks like. And the Olympics is as big time as it gets. The Stanley Cup final is as big time as it gets. So, you know, Vancouver has had, the media has been there, you know, been toying with, you know, been playing with the toy that is everybody's want in the world, not just North America with the Stanley Cup final, but with the Olympics having been there. They're kind of hung over, I think, on, you know, we want more of this, you know. And, you know, they're the typical husband who doesn't appreciate his wife.
Yeah, you're right. That's not now, Frank.
That's been forever. That's just not since the Olympics. That's not just anything. It's been forever here. It's been like that.
But it is the feeling they have. And it's gotten worse with Vancouver having all this. You know, you even had, remember you guys had the World Trade Fair. You had the World's Fair
Expo
there.
Expo 86.
Expo 86, yeah. You know, when
worst
places
thing to happen
gets,
in Vancouver.
Why?
Worst thing that ever happened. Why? We invited the world. They came to visit. They loved it. They stayed. They brought their families.
Oh, man. Wow.
That's nasty, Chris.
Oh, wow. I need a drink.
And that's all, folks. Good night.
Hey, listen, John, why don't you turn the lights off? I'll just close the door. You turn the lights off, and we'll be fine.
Oh, I just coughed up a noogie.
There you go. Hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy? Get us through this.
What's going on, Frank? What's going on, Chris and John? How y'all doing?
Get us through this, buddy.
Chris is breathing too much of that BC hydro air, hydroponic air.
Chris has got to wear a high collar.
Chris has got to wear a high collar
in the sun.
Chris,
holy
what
crap.
The hell?
Holy
so he needed to go ahead. He needed to go ahead and take that bong mask off and quit breathing that smoke.
Oh my God! About their family.
It's true.
Please address all the letters to Christopher Jones somewhere in Vancouver.
Oh boy. Either that or we got to delete the show, Frank. We got to delete the show.
Relax. We'll survive. I don't think what he said is what he meant to say, but that's neither here nor there.
No, of course not. Never. Chris,
so,
never.
No,
right?
I think
no.
That's exactly what I meant.
No! Don't take it off.
Crap.
Not good.
God, it ain't dead yet. Stab it again.
Okay, Mike. How you doing, Mike? Where are you now tonight?
Right now I'm in New York on my way to Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So what are you and your Afro-American self doing today?
Right now I'm just sitting in the back of the bunk, man, enjoying the show, getting a good laugh off you guys.
Okay, good.
Could
you share some of your culture with us? Because I think we need some we need to upgrade, you know, the understanding of, you know, never mind.
Yeah, culture. What? Yeah. Where are you going with that? What the hell? We're talking sports here, Frank. No culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
let's just move off the Argos, and you know, I think that just kind of got me depressed.
Well, we're done with the Argos. Why don't we move on to Mike's favorite subject?
Indoor league.
No, second favorite subject.
No.
Oh. I tried, Mike. A job for Atlanta outside Ottawa.
So two teams have stuck their head up and said, we're interested in them. And two of them are Two teams have raised their hand and they said, we're interested, but don't be silly. So BC and Winnipeg are the first to stand in line for Glenn's services.
Well, I tell you what, like I've said before, Winnipeg is going to be the front runner of getting Kevin Glenn, and Kevin Glenn is not he's not going to turn down an offer to go to Winnipeg because, first of all, he never left under bad circumstances. He was just traded. And the BC Lions, they're interested in Kevin Glenn because they know the status of Lule is going to be uncertain for the upcoming season, whether he's going to come in and be healthy or if he's going to even start the season. So, and what the general manager is asking for, come on, man. First off, the guy asked to be released, and you said no. And you're asking for a starter if you trade him, you're asking for some starters in return, non-import starters. Come on, man. Are you seriously? Trade the guy for a draft pick and move on. The guy want to leave, let him go.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not like you want him.
No, they don't want him. And they just making his life a living hell right about now.
Yeah.
If I was Kevin Glenn, I'd do the same thing. When a guy asked for his release a couple of weeks ago, you should have just granted to him. You don't owe him nothing. He don't owe you nothing. It's not like y'all stepped on the field yet. So, I mean, let him go.
Well, Mike, you know, this whole thing is nuts what Ottawa did. I mean, there was no reason to go after Glenn because there was nobody. Everybody knew that Henry was not going back to Hamilton. I mean, that was not, you know, Ticat fans who liked them were hoping, but most of them weren't going to cry if he left. And they're not crying when he left. So the proof is in the pudding. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I just don't get what they did. I mean, I really thought Glenn was the key.
All you have to do is take about four or five steps back, and you'll see what they did. This is old news.
Let me explain. It's a bad taste in everybody's mouth if you're a smart football fan in Ottawa, because this is their style, and it's dirty to treat a player like this. And to put him out on the front doorstep rug and let him sit out there and freeze while everybody's nice and cozy inside is wrong. After they invited him and they put him back out on the porch, it's wrong.
John,
and that tells you what the way they're going to play with the future players.
I don't understand.
No, future players are going to know this.
I get what you're saying, John. Some are going to go along with your line of thinking. The other ones are going to go. Did you
desperate.
Hear?
The other ones are the desperate ones. The desperate ones will agree.
Okay. Okay. The kid that came to Ottawa from BC, all right? Now, first he had Glenn, and now he has Glenn and Burris. And what does he say? He says, I don't know, it makes no difference to me. I'm still going to try to win the job. And, you know, that's more or less what Glenn should have said. Glenn should not have done that. Not John,
respect, man. You don't
check
put these guys. Frank, you got to go in the player's mind. You know what I mean? If you're a player, this is the kind of example the management is saying that we're willing to toy around with you. All right? They promised him. They invited him. When they said, "Yeah, we got you. We picked you. Yeah, great. We want you to come to Ottawa. Give them the red carpet and the whole nine yards." Faked them. Totally faked them. All right, it's wrong. It's wrong what they did, and
that they made a commitment behind closed doors to him as their starting quarterback because they didn't do it publicly.
They did it to him. Everybody else in the print was saying that he's the one. Nobody
yeah,
was
but
saying
that's
that,
not the team. That's not the team saying that.
Hold on. Nobody in print was even suggesting that Ottawa was going to go after Henry after they got Glenn. There wasn't even a rumor of it. They just
John,
decided to
okay,
do this.
But I said that here. I said that here myself. And remember the thing that I enjoy the most about the draft? Is the guys immediately after the draft, I said and I repeat this happens all the time in drafts. Teams draft players who eventually don't even end up playing with the team. They become assets. And he is an asset. You know,
no,
that's
but, okay,
wait,
then,
but
Frank,
okay.
You don't understand.
Okay.
You don't pick him and then tell him. It's
no,
one
I,
thing under, to
I understand
pick
what you're saying.
Well, then why
just
did they tell him? Why would they tell him? You're the starter.
You're right. It doesn't mean I think you're wrong. I'm just saying, I'm not saying you're wrong. That's definitely a
I know
fact.
You're not. Yeah.
That's definitely
okay.
A fact.
Hey. See, the thing about it is when Glenn was selected in the draft, they threw the ball in his hands and tell him to go ahead and be the captain of that ship.
Right.
That's what they told that guy.
Yep.
Now, you Big go time. Ahead and get out here and sign Henry Burris. And, you know, and I agree with John. You know, me and John don't agree on a lot of things, but I agree with John, man. They told him he was going to be the captain. And then you go out there and you sign Burris. I mean, and then you tell Burris, okay, you're going to be the starter. Man, come on, man. Ottawa left a bad taste in Kevin Glenn's mouth. And I don't blame him for wanting to be released. I don't blame him for wanting
and
to be
I don't
traded.
Blame him for that either. And I don't blame
and,
him for that either.
And the thing about it is, they don't want to trade him and they don't want to release him. They are scared that Kevin Glenn is going to go somewhere and be the starter. And when they play against Kevin Glenn, it's going to be like Kevin Glenn sitting at home carving up a Thanksgiving turkey because he's going to go ahead and show Burris who is the best quarterback between them two, and he's going to show Ottawa the reason why they shouldn't have cut him.
Okay. Well, they didn't cut him.
They're going to show them that he was the best quarterback out of the two when they play against each other. And mark my word, Kevin Glenn going to carve Ottawa up.
All that might be true. I don't have a problem with any of that. My situation is this. With an expansion team, you don't have a pre-tailored asset to work with a following year because there was no previous year. They took whatever they could. They took and I don't mean this in a negative way, and I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody. But literally, they picked up the scraps from the other teams. Would that be a fair statement? They took what the other teams were willing to give up. Is that not right?
No, that's not right.
To me, that's right. That's
you,
right.
You can't tell me that Toronto wouldn't have protected JJ if they could have. He was just
JJ
the last man out.
JJ retired.
Oh, sorry, no. Pottinger.
No, I'm still saying that the Argos did. The Argos left him out there, leaving the opportunity that he could be gone. I'm not saying they were trying to get rid of him. That's not what I said. But they did leave the guys out there that they felt they could live without more than the guys they decided to keep.
Okay.
And
if you listen to the news conference from Wally Buono and John Huffnagel, they both said, we are not prepared to lose one single player off our team to Ottawa. Not one. We just don't have the ability to protect them all. So they did
like,
a prioritized
that's like them opening a Twitter account and start talking silly stuff.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay.
I've heard something really stupid now. That's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard on this show. You're telling me that at the end of a season there's nobody that's expendable on a team? At the end
Man,
of a season.
At the end of the season.
Excuse
at the end
me.
Of the season, everybody
come
becomes
on,
expendable.
Christopher.
Everybody
come
becomes
on.
Expendable, man.
Everybody
I don't
is.
Care about the comments of Bueno, comments of Huffnagel. Everybody's expendable at the end of the season. I agree with you, Frank. Come on,
well,
Chris. Seriously.
Seriously. I'm serious. I'm sorry if you guys think that's funny.
No, it is. It's funny to me because in sports there's nothing worse than the fact that you're only as good as your last down, your last shift, your last kick. You know, that's the way it is in sports. Come on. These aren't children. These are grown men. Glenn went there, and if you think that he was totally surprised that Burris ended up in Ottawa, then you know what? Then he's not that bright. Because, you know,
Hang on a second. Ottawa, okay, Frank, hang on. You're correct, 100%. He was an asset. Whether he was picked up for the sole purpose of being trade bait or for the purpose of an insurance policy or for what purpose? But Ottawa should not have waved him around as this is our franchise.
Agreed.
Type of guy.
Agreed.
They They did that.
I
okay?
agree with you.
And second off, as soon as they hired Burris, as soon as they signed Burris, okay, Glenn now becomes a depreciating asset because every day he is now with Ottawa, he's worth less. And especially if he comes public and says, I want to be released, I want to be traded, he's worthless right now. There's no GM that's going to give you dick squat for him. They should have moved him in the first 24, 48 hours after they signed Burris. They said, we got Burris, boom, let's move Glenn. And if they had done that, they would have been brilliant.
That's very true. I agree with you 100% there, Chris. They could have handled it differently, but we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know Ottawa didn't think that Glenn would have been willing to be a participant in the way things were going. But the fact
remains, they
did was wrong. That was
wrong.
It was an insensitive thing to do to another human being.
Unfortunately, it
really
was.
And John's right. I didn't disagree with John. There's going to be some players who are going to draw a conclusion on the manner in which Ottawa deals with its players based on what happened to Glenn. It's going to happen. It's a bad deal.
It's a bad deal. And if Glenn doesn't get traded or get released, I only thing Glenn going to do is pull a Chris Williams and don't report and don't want to play. I mean, it's not like he's struggling for money. I mean, come on. He ain't struggling at all.
No, you know what? Why should he? He should just sit on the sidelines in his uniform with his arms crossed, sitting on the bench, and collect his $105,000 a year. That's what I would do. So you want me out in the field? I'm going to go out there and drop the ball.
Okay. So now finally we've come around to all I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say is whatever Ottawa did to him, yes, I agree with what John said. Chris, I agree with what you said. At the end of the day, though, this guy can sit on the sidelines, do nothing. His arm and body do not take a beating. And the next time he straps on his stuff, hopefully for him will be during the season at some point. If not, even if he goes the whole season in Ottawa, and who's not going to go? He's going to be more valuable after sitting on the sidelines this year. At the end of this season, if they literally can't get rid of him, they can't find
CFL players play in the CFL not for money, but because they want to play. For the love of the game, they want to play. Kevin Glenn was excited to go to Ottawa, not because he was going to make more money, but because he was going to be the starter and he was going to have more playing time than he had in Calgary.
Did you hear me in any way say that was his primary desire? All I said was he has it's pretty good. They have a pretty good life when they can literally, you're talking like they've been canned. You're talking like they've been insulted. You're talking like that they've had done to them what nobody should have done. But like Mike said, or whoever, whichever you guys said, he could fold his arms, sit in the sidelines and collect a paycheck. That's not a bad way to be mistreated, in my opinion. I'm not saying it's the way he wants to go, but if that's the definition of mistreatment, where's that line? Because I want to get in it.
You know what, guys? What's going to happen is somebody's going to put a package together like Winnipeg, and they're going to get Kevin Glenn for little or nothing. Let's just wait till the draft come up. We'll see what's going to happen.
Exactly.
It's embarrassing for Ottawa what's going on over there. It's disgusting what is happening in Ottawa over there, and it's going to hurt them for years to come.
Yes, from the perspective of a person who is not a Red Blacks fan, I concur. I agree with you as a non-Red Blacks fan. But as a Red Blacks fan, I assure you, they're on the side with the Ottawa team saying, yeah, you better get something good for him. Get something good for him. Yay, we got Burris. You think the
it's
fans...
It's too late.
It's never too late. It's never too late. There's nothing more surprising in sports than anything. Everything. There's surprises everywhere in sports,
You know, the funny thing is that I just don't consider Burris better. I think Austin is what put them in the Grey Cup this year with a combination of a little bit of Burris assistance, but I don't know. I know Bruce is going to argue with me on that.
Maybe not anymore. But,
Yeah, he will. He'll just argue for argue's sake. Sorry, Bruce. But I just don't think. I think Glenn is a better quarterback than Henry. It's a stupid
Who is
move.
Glenn?
Yeah, I think so. I have more faith in Glenn. I mean, I was so happy Henry never came to Toronto. I never had faith in the guy. I know he has a great record, and yes, numbers are there and stuff, but it takes the right coach, and it's all about chemistry when it comes to Henry. And I just don't know about a new, fresh team and everybody. Chemistry is going to be the hardest thing for Ottawa. I don't care what the players, who they have. They're just not going to have it, guys. And their style right now.
I agree with you, John.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Henry Burns is a far superior quarterback to Kevin Glenn. Let me finish.
Oh, come on.
Kevin Glenn is probably the most consistent day-in, day-out quarterback in the CFL and has been for a very long time. You put Kevin Glenn in, you know exactly what you're going to get on every down. He is going to be efficient, and he is going to be respectful, and he's going to do a damn good job. Burris, on the other hand, can go out there and absolutely light it up, or he can stink it out. Okay? So to me, he is a better quarterback in his abilities and talents. He is not a better quarterback in his consistency.
So
it depends a great deal on what you're looking for.
Which quarterback, knowing or assuming the situation in Ottawa, assuming the situation in Ottawa, which quarterback do you think is a better quarterback for the Ottawa? Does anybody here think that there's a miscalculation being made by Ottawa and as far as who would be the better quarterback to lead their, you know, team, their first year team?
No,
I tell you
they got the right quarterback.
You just ask the players. You ask the players who would they rather have as the starting quarterback. I bet you 90% of them would say Glenn.
John?
I think so, too. I mean, you know, look, Henry's going there for the money. No guy who's been playing for this long has all these numbers and Grey Cup appearances, wants to go to a starter, a brand-new expansion team in his career at this point. It's the ching-ching in his wallet that's making him go.
Of course it is.
And he was more than happy.
What is it, 400K, if I'm not mistaken?
400K and incentives, and you know, because it's a new team, he's got to do a lot of appearances, rah-rah-rah, in the malls and in a parade, blah-blah-blah, schmack-mack. So all those little things he's going to get paid for, okay, because he's the front-runner. He's a big smile, all right? He's got that great smile. We always see him now plastered on the TSN. All these things are. So it's a sales pitch that they're doing, and that's what he's going for. You guys really think, I mean, I'm just thinking, one wonky hit on his back and his knee, and that's it. What's the backup? And it's all gone. Glenn at least gave him a playing chance, I believe. I know, Chris, you don't think so. I think so, because Glenn was able to go in and take over a team, being a backup, coming from Hamilton, where – you know, he wasn't respected properly. Maybe he wasn't really coached properly. And you guys really love the coach from Saskatchewan that coached him in Hamilton. I don't think so.
I agree. Again,
well, being a head coach and an offensive coordinator is two different things.
Yeah, no. Scott is really offensive coach, and he's also the coach. He runs the offense, but he's coaching. So it all depends, Frank. I just think it's a mistake. I think Ottawa made a mistake. I think they should have went with Glenn and kept Glenn. He wanted to battle through and prove everybody.
All right, that's good. And now what we've got is we've got in Winnipeg, and we'll leave that subject there. I think everybody understands how we feel about Glenn and, in fact, about Burris and about Hamilton and about Ottawa. And so now let's move over to the Peg. And, well, Pierce makes a comeback in Winnipeg. Not as a quarterback, but as a halfback's coach, as a back running back's coach. How do you like that move? Start with you, Chris. I mean, Pierce is a guy who left your team. I don't think you had any belief that he had another year in him.
I love Buck Pierce. I respect him. I think he's got more heart than anybody out there. He wasn't an overly talented quarterback, but he gave you everything that he had. I absolutely love him and respect him. I'm glad to see him retire on his terms. And no, I did not think he had another year in him. Obviously, neither did he. Going into a running back coach in Winnipeg, good for him. Winnipeg's where his home is. That's where his girlfriend is. And football is part of that man. It goes to the core of his soul. And
now, if you're Willie,
he would be the water boy.
And if you're Willie, you must be just ecstatic to know that that guy's going to be on the field with you during practice and the times that he can go there and talk to that guy with that boatload of experience that he has.
Without question. I mean, who else do they have over there? Danny Mack, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got some good quarterbacks there, guys with good history. What would be really scary, if they get, and I think that's why they want Glenn as well, because, you know, they're really, you know, in the CFL, we hear about it all the time, at least I do anyway, that without a quarterback, you don't have a team. In the CFL, you have to have a quarterback. I'm going to fine-tune it a little bit. You got to have a quarterback with the backup of players, coaches, whatever, that help him to be the best he can be, which is what happened with Burris last year. And whether it's Willie and if Glenn goes there, you know, they're going to be really strong at quarterback, in my opinion, if Glenn goes there. Not just because of Glenn, but because of Willie. He's going to have all
we'll
kinds
see.
Of help.
Yep. Yes, I'm not a big Drew Willie fan.
Well, it's not about Drew Willie. Again, I repeat, you don't go nowhere without great quarterbacking. And if Glenn joins that team with Pierce, you know, during practice and McManus in practice, you know, they've got a great quarterback think tank, in my opinion. And that's what I think made Burris look so good with Hamilton. And I think Winnipeg, you know, I was surprised Manasseh threw so much support behind Winnipeg, but, you know, I'm starting to see them do some stuff that's rather intelligent. You know, really intelligent. They might have moved slowly to begin with, but...
Well, hold on a second. There wasn't a... You know, you can just about do anything there, and it will look intelligent with what the heck going on last year. Yeah, it was. It was a complete failure. They had to overhaul everything. I mean, they like Schultz and the excitement as a fresh coach that he's bringing in and the energy that he's bringing to the table here. And... I bet you any money, every player that they're signing is getting a big rah-rah pep talk and feeling Schultz's excitement, and he's going to make the team better in that sense. I think there's going to be a lot of rookie coach mistakes that he's going to make, but they're going to have a competitive team, and I'm glad they're out of the East. I'm glad
yes,
to have
they are.
Yeah, I'm glad to have Ottawa in the East. It'll be easy pickings.
That because they can get beat up by every team that comes to their hometown or where they play. So, yeah.
Big time. Yeah.
And
wow.
You know what? I agree with Frank says, too. I mean, look, Danny McManus, Buck Pierce. I mean, even though Buck Pierce is the running back coach, man, just imagine he's going to be the running back coach, but just imagine the influence he's going to have on the quarterbacks that's there. So he's going to have basically two jobs. They're not going to turn him down for going out there and be like, hey, let me talk to Willie about this and that, about this quarterback position. Because Buck Pierce, to me, was one of the best that ever played the game, even though he got hurt. That guy shows toughness, man. You can bring toughness to a game. You can put that on any quarterback, man. Just imagine the asset he's going to be.
Yeah, well, first of all, we have to make it clear that McManus is not going to be doing anything on the field. He's a scout, and he's a quarterback scout. So he's going to be, I don't know how much he's going to put his input. I'm not sure if he's going to get involved in the coaching part of it. Maybe, you know, you never know. But it's hard to see him not do stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm not sure how much stuff he's going to actually get involved with Chris's team. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. But as far as
are you talking about Buck Pierce?
McManus.
Oh, McManus.
Danny McManus. I was just saying. Well, what Mike was bringing up.
Well, you know what? The GM, Barker, was on the field a lot with the Argos when they were practicing.
Well, that's GM, not the scout. I didn't see any scouts on the field.
Well,
right?
I think he's an assistant GM now, John. I think they changed his portfolio. There's two assistant GMs in Winnipeg.
Oh, okay.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah, if that's the case, then heck, yeah. All right, I can see a different – all right, I can see it differently if that's the case. Sure, that would make more sense. And I can see him getting involved more. It would be hard not to see him getting involved. It would be crazy to keep him in the front office or scouting, you know? You know, that'd be nuts. You got a great mind there, Hughes.
The point is that the game, the CFL game, revolves around your quarterback. That's the position that really wins you and loses you games. I mean, you know, and that's why when we have these debates about whether a quarterback is good enough to be the quarterback for a team, you know, to me, it's not always just about the arm, you know, or the guy's legs. It's also the players that he has to throw to hand off to, and the coaches he, you know, pumps for information. And also, you know, he's given good instruction. I think Burris was given great instruction last year, so much so that eventually he ended up in the Grey Cup. Did he deserve a lot of the credit? Absolutely. Did either him or Kent Austin deserve all the credit? No. You can decide whether it's 60-40, 40-60, 80-20, but at the end of the day, somebody has to be on the sidelines and somebody has to be on the field. And, you know, as much as someone can do good in either of those positions, there are a lot of people who can do a lot of bad in those positions. So you know, they did a great job together.
And, Frank, on that note, I got to go.
Bye. Your phone dying?
No, it's not dying. I got an early morning tomorrow morning, and the working stiff is right. It's been a pleasure, fellas. It's been a pleasure, and continue the chatter as always. It's been good, and listeners, thank you for listening. Have a good night, fellas.
Have a good night, John. And y'all know what? This has been a record breaking moment tonight because I agree with John on three different topics, man. Come on.
Okay, let's keep it. Let's finish off.
Good while you're ahead, John. While you're ahead.
Good night, Mike. Good night, Chris, Frank. Everybody.
All right,
good night.
Catch you later.
All right, catch you.
Health just froze over.
There you go.
Health just froze over, man. It's a bad night. Bad night.
So you know, and John didn't mean Schultz. John meant Mike O'Shea, but that's neither here or there. Just wanted to clear that up.
I figured.
Yeah, just wanted
Chris
to make
Schultz
sure that.
Chris Schultz is PSN guy.
Yeah, he's the guy that talks about everybody. So the peg seems to be rounding into form. They look to be taking the season seriously. They're doing a great job, I think, and I'm kind of happy for the Winnipeg fans because, you know, they are a team, of course, that have good years, bad years, good years, bad years. They're not one of those teams that, you know, slowly disassembles themselves or slowly assembles themselves. They're real. They're a 90-degree turn, you know, or 180-degree turn team over the years.
They can implode. They can implode it within a season.
Yeah, they've done it. You know, and I think this is going to be a good year for them.
Hey guys, I got to take a couple minutes out. Somebody got hurt by a horse. I'll be back in a bit.
Oh, okay. Hope they're okay. Well, okay. We're gonna take a short break and. As of Sunday, we started a new program, and, Welcome to the Candid Rank Live Show, Puck Talk Edition. With Frank Stenishi. And Pat Lake. Call in. Let's talk hockey.
Yeah! Oh, get out of the way of my...
live on Blog Talk Radio. Candid Frank Live, the National Lacrosse League edition, with Aaron William Freeland, Gary Grube, sometimes Jared Harris, and Frank Stanishi tonight.
Hello, are we there?
What are you, shy, Mike?
No, I'm not shy, man. I was out here doing two things at the same time. You know what I'm saying? I was about to give my shout-outs, but I was doing two times. I got kind of preoccupied.
Okay, well, I was preoccupied, too. I was waiting for your shout-outs.
Oh, my bad.
Do your shout-outs.
Well, you know what? Well, you know what, Frank, I want to give a shout-out to our boy, friend of the show, Trap Hicks, because he made the Pennsylvania Steam. And I want to give a shout-out to him, man. Congratulations to him, you know.
Good for him.
And I want to give a shout-out.
Yep.
Give a shout-out to my baby Sid, Ebb, my total guys from the job that listen to the show. Thanks for y'all for supporting it. My peeps over in Germany, my peeps over in Canada, my peeps in the United States that listen to the show, support us. Big shout out to all y'all. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, we sure do.
On that note, I left the building.
And shout outs too to the Kingsley.
There you go.
To the boat logo page. To my buddy Randy Christinger, who keeps trying to embarrass me constantly. And of course, Ms. Weaver, the Phyllises, or the Phili, if I can call them like that. And Bruce is always loyally sitting there listening to the show with Steve Myers tonight. And, of course, Bruce John Inch is always a great follower and a great friend and enjoys the show. And we appreciate all of you that enjoy the show. And if you can pass it along to other people, that'd be great, too. We just have a lot of fun talking about the CFL. So, Mike, right now it's just me and you, and I'm concerned about what's going on with Chris over there. We'll get a report when he comes back.
Right.
What did you think of Khalif Mitchell being let go by the Argos, released?
Oh, man, you know what, Frank? When I first seen that story, and shout out to Debbie for posting it. Shout out, Debbie. Thank you. I was like, wow, man, the Argos released Khalif Mitchell? I mean, he had him a heck of a year last year. I know when he first came, he kind of started out on a sour note. But then, you know, he had to change of mind because I think he was just upset because he got traded from BC. But once he settled in, I mean, Khalif Mitchell had a hell of a year, you know. And I was thinking, man, that he was going to be the anchor of that defense this year, you know. So I'm like, what are the Argos doing? Really?
Or what's happening to them?
Yeah, what's happening? Unless they have – okay. Everything all right, Chris?
No, she's hurt, but not bad enough to go to the hospital.
No,
wow.
She got stepped on by a horse, rolled her ankle over, and the horse stepped on her. So, yeah, she's hurting, and she'll be okay.
Wow.
That's
sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, it happens. They're big animals, right?
Yeah. I was hoping that it was going to be still a year with Toronto, with Cleve anchoring that defense. Unless they have some contingency plan, I just don't see where it made sense.
Well, we did travel this road already, and Jim Barker had promised Cleve a release at the end of the season so that he could check out his NFL options. So this was predetermined at the beginning of the season when he first went to Toronto. So I don't think this is shocking anybody except for Toronto fans who weren't really paying attention.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. So, yeah. And as we said, there's probably some mitigating circumstances in this because he probably should have been released earlier, and now that he's being released later, and there's a lot of different things. John has some really good points on this. And but, yeah, it doesn't look like there's anything out of the ordinary here.
Mm-hmm.
If he signs with Ottawa tomorrow or the next day, then, yeah, there something happened in Toronto. But if he goes down south and tries out his options down there, then yeah, that's exactly what happened. We'll find out. Time will tell on this one. And there's
yeah,
not much
we can do.
Yeah. Just touching base on Winnipeg because you guys moved on, and I'm sorry that I had to run away. I don't think you guys are putting a lot more optimism into Winnipeg than I am. And I really don't think that they're making the moves or the changes that they need to or that should have happened. And I think that the inexperience in the head office is going to come out and bite them in the ass. And I think Edmonton is going to be a stronger team. So Winnipeg's going to finish last in the West this year. Again.
You said they're going to finish in the last this year, last?
Yeah, they're going to be in fifth place in the West.
Man,
I really don't know, man.
I mean, on paper, Chris, they look good. But, you know, come on, man. They improving their team this year. I mean, they went out and got Nick Moore, which is an upgrade to be a second receiver. And then you still got Clarence Denmark, Mike Sims-Walker. You re-signed Will Ford. You just upgraded your quarterback position by 75-80% from what you had last year. I mean, if they
want
their offensive line, right. I always being nice by saying 75-80. You know what I'm saying? But if you can boost that offensive line, get some beef on that offensive line to protect them, I mean, they're going to do pretty good, man. I believe because there wasn't the plays that they did last year wasn't bad. They just offensive line really sucked. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I'm not arguing with those points. Those points are all really valid, okay? And they have done that. I still think that there's going to be a little bit of uncertainty in how things are going to come together because everybody is in a new position. And I think it's going to take them some time to gel, and I think it might take them too long to gel. I honestly think Ottawa is in a better shape right now than what Winnipeg is. Now, let's go back over to Edmonton because that's basically the rival here for last space in what most people would say. And Edmonton was the single best CFL team I've ever seen that had a record of 4-14. They could have won another half dozen or more games by scoring another field goal. They were in every single game. Now, I think that they have made some moves in which to improve themselves to the point where they may win another 3-4, maybe even 6 games out of the season. And Winnipeg's not going to come close to them.
You know what? And I agree with that assessment on Edmonton. Edmonton was the best 4-14 team last year. I mean, come on. They never gave up. They fought to the very end. They just didn't get the right side of the draw, man, you know? So
that's,
I agree with
that's
that.
That's exactly right.
I think both teams are going to improve. But I think if Edmonton can boost their offensive line also, because, you know, Mike Riley was getting tore up last year, man. And
He was still ripping it up.
Yeah, he was still ripping it up. If Winnipeg and Edmonton can bolster their offensive line, man, get some hogs up front to protect them guys, I just see the record is not going to be as much. I said winning maybe 2 or 3 more games, more than what they did in 2013. And I might be saying a lot. Give them 2 or 3 games, 4 max.
Who's going to win? Winnipeg's going to win 4 games next season.
They're going to win four more games than what they did in the 2013 season.
Who's going to lose 4 more games? So you're basically telling me that some of the top teams in the league right now are not going to be as good next year. I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but who? I think the Riders are going to take a serious hit.
The Riders are going to take a serious hit, and Calgary is going to take a serious hit. Riders and Calgary, they're both going to take serious hits.
You know I'm really big on Adrian McPherson.
Yeah, I know. And I am too.
And I think And I think he's going to do a better job in Calgary than the quarterback merry-go-round that they had with Tate, Glenn, and Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah.
He's younger.
You know,
he's more mobile. I think he's going to do a better job with the style of offense that Dave Dickinson plays, that he wants to put out on the field. He is going to do a better job than Kevin Glenn in that position. Kevin Glenn did a damn good job in Calgary last year running Dickinson's offense. I think Adrian McPherson is much better suited for it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Glenn did a heck of a job, 20-8 as a starter. Shoot, man, come on. You know?
Yeah, but that wasn't
last
season.
Hold on, guys.
To what? Sorry.
That was the two seasons that he was there, the 20-8 record.
Yeah.
Well, they won the West Division,
you know,
and he went to the Grey Cup.
Yeah.
And he had a big part in both.
He did, and I'm not dissing Kevin Glenn at all. Never have, never will. I haven't done that tonight. I said he's the most consistent quarterback in the league and has been for a very long time. I like him. I just don't think he has that oomph to put you over the top. And that's what Calgary was lacking last year, was last 2 years, is the oomph to put them over the top. I think Adrian McPherson may actually bring that to their team under the guidance of Dave Dickinson. Now, we're talking about Kent Austin
and
how
wonderful
and how long it was.
And you're right. And you know what, Chris? You're right. But you also have to admit that there is a bit of a gamble here. You know, we don't know how good they're going to be with Adrian McPherson. And unfortunately, you can't judge Glenn until somebody takes over what he had to work with. Glenn, I'm not judging Glenn.
You know,
no, that's not what I mean either.
You put all this faith in Kolaris and Drew Willey and saying how much better these teams are because of those people.
How much better they can be.
And I think McPherson is a better quarterback than both
McPherson.
Of them.
And the same is true with McPherson. He's younger. He has a winning pedigree. We all understand that, I think. I think people should be made to understand that this guy wins where he goes. Didn't get a chance to win in Montreal, but didn't get many reps at starter either. So, you know, we really didn't see what he could do. You know, and he had to leave to give himself an opportunity to gain the kind of confidence that you have in him. And rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was big on him when he left Montreal. You know, and I'm not a Montreal fan in any way, shape, or form, but I really did like Adrian McPherson. And, you know, I'm not going to harp on this for that much longer, but I think Calgary is not going to lose a step this year from what they were, if not going to be better than they were. Okay, and I think the team in the West that's going to take the biggest hit is going to be the Riders, and I think they're going to be fighting with Edmonton for the last playoff spot, and I think it's going to be a dogfight.
So we're talking about...
I agree. Yeah.
So out in the cold, you're saying it'll be Saskatchewan?
Yes. There's a good possibility they're going to miss the playoffs this year.
Nah,
that's
that
not going to make me any fans.
No, I don't think that's almost impossible.
Well, you know, if I'm not mistaken, they lost a lot of key members, and that was really helpful with them guys winning. 17. That's a lot.
They lost 17 players.
Well, that's coaches and players.
No, that was 19 coaches and players. They lost two coaches to BC, and one was actually only a part-time coach.
So that wasn't that big a loss then?
No.
I just happen to think that Saskatchewan has the wherewithal to recover rather easily.
Well, you know what? The time's going to tell when the season starts. I give them about the first 5 games and you'll see.
Well, it'll definitely be interesting. Definitely be interesting. Okay, let's take a short break. We're back right after this.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
Hopefully there's Aspen on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch?
Injuries? I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL, we play by our own rules. Why do you think it takes you guys four downs to get 10 yards? We only need three up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
Yeah, they give us one just in case.
I love four downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
You're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know, that would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
You know?
It's a whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little.
CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
Well, it's nice to know that we're appreciated. And, Chris, if you want me to give you a call, I'll give you a call. You seem to be coming in and out every 3 seconds here.
Well, I don't know what happens. I'm not sure whether it's you or me, but it keeps dropping. It's not my internet.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, if you want, I'll give you a call.
I'll give you a call. I'm just going to hunt down my phone to make sure.
Okay. All right. So what's the issue how long do you think it'll take for the owners and the players to resolve things? Apparently things have been shut down. They're regrouping, if you will, having conversations in their own little tiny groups, figuring out how to behave once they get back together again.
We're not even hearing what the issues are.
Yeah, they're not saying anything. It's obvious what it is. It's about money.
Yeah. I agree, but, you know, with that announcement at free agency where they say that, you know, you go after the cap at, what, 5 mil or whatever it was, that, you know, there had to have been some type of belief that that was real.
Yeah.
You know, so I really don't know what this is going to be in the money aspect of things. I'm sure it is. Of course it's money. There's very few other things that they can do, drug testing or a few other things, but, you know, there's no big issues that should call off a talks the way that it did on Thursday.
Well, we know how it works, right? The owners offer some money, and then the owners get some sort of bilateral concessions from the players that make them feel good about what they're doing, you know? But they are gonna be stuck on how much to give. And how much to take, give, whichever, you know, perspective you're looking at. It's going to be a tough discussion because there can be no reaction by the owners other than allowing the players to believe that they can get some more money out of this. You know, it's too public. You know, it's too public. The rise in income for the teams is too public.
Yeah, but you know that. Show me a team that hasn't got such a high level, aren't working with high levels of debt and from previous years. I mean, even the Riders right now, who are as flush as anybody, have got so many skeletons in their closets where they're still trying to bail themselves out of. You know, and Argos are no different. BC's no different. And we're two of the best teams, you know, revenue-wise. So BC's one of the best revenue-wise teams out there. And they haven't paid back really his money. Not the money that he's put out on this team so far.
And you see him getting any of that money back?
He'll get it back when he sells the franchise because it's going to sell as one of the best franchises in the league's history. So, yeah, I think he'll get his money back out of it. but he's not making money right now. And, I mean, look at the NFL, a poor comparison, but those guys down there are raping their teams, right?
They're making
good money. The CFL owners are not making money.
No, not in comparison to that or any other, any other of the three, the big three, or the big four, if you wanna go there, you know, basketball, baseball, football, hockey, different plane.
Yeah, well, I think the owners are different. I think that the owners in the CFL right now are there because they actually love the game, and they're happy on a season where they don't have to open their wallet.
Yeah, and they want to be owners too, don't you think? Don't you think the ownership part of being an owner is very attractive to these businessmen? Even though there could be frustration, there is a lot. I think there's a lot that Braley gets out of being an owner in the CFL. I think it's like if you or I became an owner, you know, obviously that's the kind of owners that you have in the CFL, people that. I think what we're going to see now is this will be a new age with MLSC buying the Argos, where you're going to have a corporate interest buying a CFL team with the eye on buying low and being able to be through the part where the business improves, you know, exponentially.
They have shareholders. They want to make money.
Yeah. And they've got every opportunity to control the environment and control their ability to make money. I mean, you know, the interest MLSC is a combination of Rogers and of TSN. We know that TSN has a vested interest in, you know, the CFL. We know that Rogers wants to be the be-all, end-all when it comes to every platform, when it comes to telephones, tablets, computers, everything. You know, they want to be the go-to, you know. So,
they need to up their game then.
Yeah, and they have and they will continue to. They're very big, you know. They're a big company in North American standards, you know. That's the thing, you know. So the Argos being purchased by MLSC is a good thing for the whole CFL. We've said that a million times. But most importantly, its name is going to be out there all the time, you know, all the time, repeatedly brought up, you know, and mentioned. And everything that's good that happens is going to be, you know, repeatedly put out there. So, you know, it's a no-lose situation for them because they literally, they'll be buying a team that they're going to control the environment that it lives in, literally. You know, so, you know, they own the stadium, you know, all that wonderful stuff.
No, they don't.
You know.
Who does?
Hmm?
They don't own the stadium,
well,
do they?
It's not
owned by them.
They don't own it, but they have all the control over how it operates. They operate it for the city. They're like a tenant, but they might as well own it. You know, they're getting all the benefit of owning the place. And some of the responsibility for keeping it going is the city's, right?
Yeah, it just depends on whether or not there's profit involved. You know, the profit should go to the city in this entity, so.
And we will see
you
about that.
Hey, you know what, guys? I was listening to the show earlier when I was on the phone. I was just sitting here listening. And as you guys were saying earlier, and I'm going to touch bases on it because I didn't get a really chance to touch bases, and that all the CFL combines, man, that's going on around the world now. I mean, you're having a lot of CFL combines that's going on. And for them to have a lot of CFL combines, that must be saying that the CFL is getting out. You know, a lot of more people is trying to get involved in CFL, and a lot of people wouldn't know what the CFL is all about because you got a lot of guys that's going to combines that never actually watched the CFL game and just heard it through the grapevine. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of the places in which the CFL is spending more money. And, you know, that should be like a negotiation issue that is going on now is, you know, we're saying, well, players want more money. Well, the CFL is actually paying more money for these combines because there's a hell of a lot more of them than there ever was before. And, you know, and I know the BC Lions spend a lot of money on their free agents camps because they have five or six of them every year, and I think they were upping it to seven or eight this year.
Uh-huh.
So, you know,
it's really getting out there.
The teams are spending money. Yeah, yep. the teams are spending money. The league is spending money, and it may not be on salaries. It may be in other places. So this money coming from the TV revenues, hey, everybody's agreeing it's a wonderful thing. Yes, it's out there in the media and everybody knows about it. But you also got to pay attention to all the other things that they're doing as well. And they're doing some good out there for this league. I mean, the awareness is happening.
I don't think the players, like, they're going to have a hard time. The league's not going to get much traction on saying to the players, we're spending a lot more money to replace you, so we can't afford to pay you.
No, I understand that, but my point is they are spending more money. Their purse strings are opening up to get this to be a better league.
Yeah, yeah.
It may not help an individual player.
I agree. I agree, but I think more or less what they can sell, it's selling itself. And I maintained from the beginning of last year when they upped the NBC schedule and the ESPN schedule, I maintained that was the greatest thing that could have happened to even if they gave the airtime for free, which basically I think they did. It is the greatest thing they could do. It does nothing but works wonders for the league. It puts the name out there. People watch it. There's so much good that comes from it. You get people who watch it and go, wow, that's pretty good football. I'd like to play in that league. How much do they pay those guys? Oh, that's not bad. I'd rather do that than throw flour in the back of a truck. That kind of stuff. And also, when it comes to players, they want to play and the teams can find better players. And now these combines, I think it's obvious, and they're proving the point that we've discussed from time to time, where really, as sad as it sounds, the players can be replaced. There is a lot of talent, and I think we're seeing proof of that because the teams are willing to have more and more combines because they're looking for, those guys that come in immediately in a year or two and become factors in the CFL, if you find the right type of guys that fit in, to your program. There's lots of talent out there.
There is. There's thousands of people. I mean, there's very few people in this league that cannot be replaced in a heartbeat.
Now, we're not looking for that to happen. As a fan, that's not what I'm looking for. But what I am looking for is for my team to do better next year than they did this year. And there's only one team that you want to equal what they did last year, and that's Saskatchewan. And I bet you there's still better that they can do. They want them to finish first and win the Grey Cup. So, there's always room for improvement, and it's great news to know, firstly, that the league has the wherewithal to expand where it finds players, and more importantly, that there are the players that can make it justifiable to spend that extra money. That's the part that's the most important part for the CFL.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Because, like what Chris was saying, I was on mute because I was telling some business. It's a lot of players that's going to make it, and you got a lot of players that's not going to make it, but that's going to be seen by NFL scouts and coaches to come back to combines, come to training camp. I mean, the CFL as a whole is in a good stage right now. Financially, play with financial wise, and bringing in good quality players meant to represent the CFL. I mean, CFL is on an all time high right now, and I love it.
I'm not an expert in combines, but would it be worth the while of some of the indoor leagues to, send a pair of eyes up there to have a look at what's going on in these combines?
Will I do what, Frank?
What?
Do you think it's worth it?
Not.
Exactly. It's good for the indoor game as well. These players are trying out, I believe, for a lot more than just the CFL. They want to play football, and I think it'd also be worthwhile for some of these indoor teams to kick a little bit in and work with the CFL. I think it's becoming more and more apparent that the indoor leagues are as much a feeder to the CFL as the CFL is to the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Frank. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And in fact, the guy that that co-owns the Salina Bombers, Chris Virchers, friend of mine on Facebook. I tried to get him to come on the show, by the way. He, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, came down to his facility to work out a couple of guys, a private showing. So, you know,
right.
The CFL goes to the indoor leagues, and they also go to the gridiron development football leagues that have down here, because we have a GDFL league down here, which is a minor league. I'm not going to say a minor league to the NFL, but a development league to push players to go further. They went down to the Oklahoma team and scouted some players down there. So a lot of players are getting scouted down here. Football is not a shortage over here in the States. I don't care what league it is. CFL is getting entwined with all these different leagues, and I'm
proud.
I'm
should
glad
do.
To see that.
Which they should do.
Yep.
It's in their best interests.
Yeah. Yep.
And the more the indoor game becomes more of a factor, and it could work its way up here, as it may very well here in Ontario, as we've interviewed the commissioner that's starting out the league here in Southern Ontario. So, yeah, football,
GIFL.
There's football players everywhere and looking for an opportunity to show what they can do. And some of them are really good at what they do.
And you know what, if the indoor league happens to start up in Ontario for the next season, I mean, hey, look what it can do for the Canadian athletes that's trying to make it. I mean, hey, you're gonna have an all-time high with Canadian athletes playing an indoor game and then from getting themselves promoted to the CFL. I mean, that's what you need anyway. That's what you're looking for your Canadian athletes to get a chance to play. Because I'm not biased against the Canadians or the Americans. Whoever can play the best, that's what should be on the squad, regardless of where you're from.
Well, from our selfish perspective as fans, the more players there are and the more better players there are, the better it is for us, the more we enjoy the game. There's never a shortage of desire for superstars.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. There you go.
So,
speaking of unbelievable talent down in the States, and I'm just going to use that as a term to open up this statement, did you guys see this thing in the National Post today, or, Mike, I don't know what you would have sent it, about Rashard Mendenhall, 26 years old, has left the NFL because he cannot deal with the commercialization, racism, and negativity.
I didn't get a chance to read that. He walked away from the NFL?
He walked away at age 26. He says, that's it, I'm done. Spent 5 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then he went over to Arizona in 2013. And that's basically what it is. He says he's sick and tired of the racist remarks that are given out, and he says, I'm done.
Oh, man, I wonder where we see a Rashad Mendenhall up north in the Canadian League.
I said, who owns his CFL rights?
Right.
They better get on it.
You know what? I'm going to have to look into that one. Who owns his CFL rights? Wow.
Because
that guy right there, man, as far as running back, he would fit in with every team up there in Canada, any CFL team.
So you know who he is?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I know Rashad Mendenhall is. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a starter for sure. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he just walked away today.
Hard to believe.
He said
yes,
he's
sir.
Retiring because of the commercialization of football has forced him to become an entertainer rather than a football player.
What's the difference?
Says, you're
wow.
He says you're always on duty. You can never fully relax or you're going to drown. You have to fight the waves of currents and praise and criticism, but mostly hate. I can't even count how many times I've been called a dumb. There is a bold coarseness you receive from non-supporters that seem to only exist on the Internet. However, even if you try to avoid these things completely, because I've tried, somehow they still reach you. If not firsthand, then through friends and loved ones who take it to heart and all heart of all they read and hear about you. This is his quote.
Wow. Wow.
It's, what was more difficult for me to grasp was the way that the business of the entertainment has really shifted the game and the sport of football in the NFL. The culture of football now is very different from the one I grew up with. I've always been a professional, but I am not an entertainer. I never have been. Playing that role was never easy for me. The box deemed to fit the professional athlete is very small box. My wings spread a lot further than the acceptable athletic stereotypes, and conformity was never a strong point for me. My focus has always been on becoming a better me, not a second-rate somebody else.
Wow. Well, he's not alone.
No, he's really not
alone.
Well, I'm sure he's not.
John Moffitt walked away, too.
That's exactly what he just said. He said,
yep.
He is not the only player to call it quits in recent months because he wasn't happy playing football anymore. John Moffitt notified the Broncos in November that he would not be returning, saying that he thought that it was madness to risk your body, risk your well-being, and risk your happiness for money.
And you know what? Some years back, Donnell Autry used to play for Northwestern. He walked away from the NFL after maybe, what, one or two seasons? To pursue acting, he desired to play football wasn't there anymore. So a lot of guys walk away from it. But
well, you, do, you,
in
do,
the
you
hall,
do you not
ahead,
do you
I'm
not
sorry.
Think that no, it's okay. You don't think that Rashad Mendenhall and the rest of these guys aren't watching what's going on with concussions and the to the detriment of their future? I mean, football players get very old at the age 40. A lot of them.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, and if you have another option in life, you know, you may not make, you know, over the, you know, it's all about length and quality of life, right? Now, if money's
oh,
all
yeah.
You want it as quick as you can get it, then maybe, you know, you're going to put up with some stuff, right? But, you know, it's like
yep.
It's like anybody who takes steroids, right? They go, well, that isn't going to happen to me. You know? Well, human beings think that they're, you know, indestructible. If people knew that they'd get in a car accident because they're going to drink and drive, they wouldn't drink and drive. They just don't think that it's going to happen to them. As
yep.
simple as that sounds. You know, people do things, they take risks sometimes that they don't understand. Even a 1 in 100 risk could end up being the wrong, you know, you're on the wrong side of that equation. So, yeah, so these guys will make decisions like that.
Somebody wins the lottery. We know what the
yep,
odds are.
The reverse lottery. The reverse. I call yeah. it the reverse lottery.
Right.
Where you have a long shot of something bad happening, and unfortunately, you know.
You win.
Yeah, and it's not much a victory. All right, so we also talked about Buck Pierce. Were you in on that conversation, Mike?
Yeah, yep. Oh, yeah. I'm happy for him, man. I'm glad he retired. I didn't want to see him go through another injury-filled year just in case he played. I didn't want him to go through an injury-filled year, man. Buck Pierce has had enough. You know, go ahead, move on. He retired. He didn't have no myths about retiring, no grudges or reluctant to retire. I mean, hey, he wasn't unemployed long, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, he had that job before he retired.
Yeah, he had the job, what, last year before he got traded?
Yeah.
You think so?
I mean, he's got his restaurant. It's doing really well. The people in Winnipeg, for everything that everybody says about Buck Pierce, they love him back there. His girlfriend lives in there, fiance, soon-to-be wife, whatever you wish to call her. And, you know, and now he's part of the Bombers management team. Anything that he did on the field is over. They're going to reverse everything, and he is going to be loved by everybody in Bomberville.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's not like he did anything wrong, you know?
No.
He didn't get hurt because he was careless. He got hurt because he wanted to win, and he did what he could to win. And that's something people don't forget.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, even if you look at how many games did he play with BC? 3? 4?
Yeah.
I mean, He threw the ball out, and who was it? Was it Manny Arnett, Arsenal, that was running down the file? And the main blocker just before he got into the field, into the end zone, was Buck Pierce. The guy
yep.
threw his
and
body at a DB.
And
I mean,
he mm-hmm. dislocated his shoulder.
No. That was Lule.
Was that Lule?
Yeah, that
Lule
was Lule.
But Buck did hurt himself. He was playing injured at the end of the year. He kind of hurt his sternum area because you could see him working on it.
Well, I
could have
swore he got
shoulder,
hurt on
sternum.
That.
It was.
Well, guys.
It was.
Go ahead, Chris.
I love
her.
No, it's all okay. Right. I mean, I just did. I have ultimate respect and admire Buck Pierce for what he did in BC, for what he tried to do in Winnipeg, and his always a stand-up guy.
And you know, actually, a lot of people don't know this, and I looked this up some time ago, that Buck Pierce turned down NFL contracts to stay in the CFL.
Yeah.
Because regardless of how he played, NFL teams loved Buck Pierce. They wanted him to come every year, and he turned them down every year. That's what you call a guy, man, that has heart and soul and love for the CFL.
Well, it wasn't love for the CFL. It was love for the game. He wanted to play. He wanted to be the man on the field with the ball. Want the ball. Okay? Plain and simple.
Yep.
That line came right out of The Replacements, right, from Gene Hackman. Winners want the ball. Okay? Buck Pierce going to the NFL would never get the ball. You know, it's such a rarity to get a Doug Flutie or Jerry Garcia. Not Jerry Garcia.
Jeff Garcia.
But
Jeff
Garcia.
Garcia
brought
yeah.
it,
Jeff
brought
Garcia.
Jeff Garcia. And
Eric Kramer, you know.
I didn't realize you were a deadhead. I didn't realize you were a deadhead.
Of course. Isn't everybody?
I guess.
Now,
yeah, I guess.
You know what, guys? With Buck Pierce retiring, is it safe to say, or will it be safe to say that Buck Pierce might make the Hall of Fame, CFL Hall of Fame?
Of course he will.
Yep. I agree.
I think he will. It's a disservice if he doesn't.
Well, if he stays in the CFL, it's going to be very likely that he will.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
You know,
if he doesn't disappear from the – this will just push it over the edge because the CFL does take care of their own.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he won a Grey Cup as a starting quarterback. You know, BC 2006, wasn't it? So – you know, he didn't. Dave Dickinson didn't do anything much more than what Buck Pierce did. Dave's in there.
Again, another guy that stayed in the league. You know, that same path, I think.
Yeah.
You know, they take care of
another man I ultimately admire and respect. I wish he had come to BC.
So I was. I do mean to change the subject. So I'm watching.
Sure, change the subject.
I'm watching the Seattle weather woman. And is she hot? And then, that's not the point. But all of a sudden, I hear the announcer go.
Yes, it is. Right? Is she hot, man? Is she hot?
anyway, her name is Paris Jackson.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. So Paris Jackson gets released. Paris Jackson gets released by the, and I'm referring to the male one, the one that played in the CFL with the BC Lions, gets released. Ottawa picks him up. Good pickup for Ottawa, I think.
Great pickup. But, you know, here's where I have a problem with that. Now, is this Wally dropping the ball? Because he knew that Glenn was out on the marketplace right now. Here's your non-import starter that Ottawa was looking for. Why didn't he just trade for Kevin Glenn? Or was he doing the noble thing as a general manager and releasing the people who he thought that wasn't going to make his team, where Desjardins not doing that?
I think that's the case.
Yeah. Yep. And also, I think Paris Jackson wanted to be traded so he can have a more role in an offense with a team.
Well,
I mean, because BC was stacked with receivers. So, I mean, come on. The receivers that they had, you could take two guys out and put three guys in. I mean, they were carouseling like a merry-go-round, man. I mean, BC was stacked with receivers.
Yeah, but to Christopher's point, I totally understand what he's saying. That's why I'm mentioning this. because even if you don't get rid of Paris Jackson, how much worse is he than one of the other guys that might be even a little more desirable for Ottawa to pick up? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of times you have to give up something to get something. Well, usually that's
right.
What you have to do, right? So if they could keep Paris Jackson, he would suffice if they got rid of, allowed Ottawa to pick one of the other guys, if you know what I'm saying. And then they end up with the quarterback they want, which is Glenn. Might have been a smarter move, because that's what ran through my mind. I'm going, why are they – well, okay. But then again, you know, I got to listen to what Chris said, and I got to listen to what John said, and the way you guys talk about, reputation of a GM and a team. You know, you don't want to be a place where you die. You know, if you go there, you die. You don't want people to say that. You know, and Glenn's going to bring that message out, you know, from Ottawa. Ottawa has hurt their reputation a little bit. They may or may not be forgiven because they're an expansion team. But, you know, I think that's part of it, too. I think Wally Buono's the kind of guy that he wants to be able to attract players to his team when he needs them. So if he doesn't hang on to them when he doesn't need them, he'll have a better reputation for getting players while he needs them. And if they don't work out, they know at least they're not going to be, you know, dangled on a string, hanging on a string or dangling at the end of a rope.
Exactly. And, I mean, the players want to play for Wally. I mean, look at the amount of guys that have gone down to the NFL, played 1, 2, 3, even 4 or 5 years, and come back. Manny Arsenault, Stefan Logan, Solomon Aluminium. They said, I want to come back and play for Wally. And, I mean, these are guys who could have made any team in this league. And they came back to BC.
Which is a conversation we're having now, not too distant from that other conversation we had where I'm not an entertainer and the NFL is not what I thought it was and I would rather not play in the NFL. So players do have the ability to turn down money. You know, we see that on a regular basis. And I think a lot of people look at it facetiously with a lot of, you know, with a grain of salt, saying, yeah, sure, they're turning down money. There are some players who do actually care about a quality of life. And if they feel that they're in an organization that improves their quality of life in a city or a town that appreciates them as people in that town, you know, for some, it's an easy decision. It may seem hard to some of us. But it's an easy decision, I think, sometimes for people to make decisions that are less about money and more about quality of life. And I have to say congratulations to those guys, you know, because that gives hope to the other players who are, you know, who feel as though, because many of us in life feel if we're jettisoned by somebody, we have nowhere else to go. And if we can witness somebody else, you know, being jettisoned or wanting to leave and do it and it turns out good, that's better for us who are thinking it as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't have to be that
yeah.
kind. You don't have to be somebody for somebody's sake. You can be somebody for you, right?
Yep.
And you should be. That should be what you're doing. Right? If you're not doing what you truly love and the passion that what you do, why are you doing it?
It's crazy not to.
Yeah.
Make a decision that's based on your happiness.
I followed my dream since I was 20 years old. I do what I want to do when I do want to do it.
Well, every so often I get kicked in the seat of the pants and then I'm forced to make myself happy. So I have to, you know, again, that's how I started doing this show. Do I care that a million people aren't listening to this show or are? Not at all. It doesn't matter to me.
I don't care if anybody is. You and
I'm
having fun.
I disagree a little bit. I enjoy the fact that there are people who enjoy listening to what we have to do. And for me, it's the quality of the people who are listening that support us and what we're trying to do that makes it worthwhile, you know. And in life, a lot of times we chase... Go ahead.
That improves our existence. Okay?
Yeah.
That improves what we're doing. I mean, if we weren't on the radio at all, Frank, you, myself, and Mike sitting around talking football for 2 hours, and John when he was in here, I would be happy with that if nobody listened to me. The fact that people out there actually want to listen to us, I'm totally amazed at. I can't believe that somebody wants to listen to me talk about football.
Well, no, I've had some emails. I've had some
maybe they don't, but I'm loyal. They probably don't.
I've had some emails, but I'm very loyal.
Right.
I don't. Yeah, but they're
actually,
all green.
Actually, for the most part, what we do is appreciated, and I say we because a lot of times, because I've been through this before, and a lot of times when you're the guy at the front, you get far more credit as you do blame than you deserve, and that I'm saying that honestly without even a tongue in cheek at all for a second, and that's the case, you know. So, you know, I've learned very quickly in life that the people that are around you are the ones that are immediately around you are the ones that help you raise the quality of your life. And I've also learned that you don't always have to agree with somebody to, you know, to enjoy their company.
No, absolutely not.
And that's the objective here.
I have a really good time with Kelly Bale. Kelly is a wonderful man. Very intelligent, very articulate. We don't agree on Dick Squat. I mean, he's a writer fan,
well,
on a Lions
you
fan.
Did,
we're
going to
butt heads all the time.
Thing.
But
you did agree on one thing. You guys were going to a level of Facebook personal attacks that were getting pretty interesting, I'll tell you. But
we have,
but you know,
yeah, but you know what? That's when we first started, and you know, and Kelly Bill was, you know, I mean, but we all resolved them issues, and I'm like, Chris, man. Me and Kelly have some good conversations, and I'm always sending everybody certain game films of certain people. And, I mean, you know, I enjoy that everybody likes to comment on the game film and watch the films that I do put up. I mean, it's enjoyment for me.
But at the end of the day, guys, if you take a step back, and this is advice from an older guy here to everybody who's listening, you know,
you're
sometimes
not that much older.
And you know what? And well, you'll vouch for what I'm saying. Sometimes the people that start out as people that you really can't stand turn out to be your best friends. So don't give up on being able to get along with somebody is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Hope for me and John?
Absolutely. Absolutely, there is.
I mean,
there's
hope you're listening, John.
He will be later.
Hey,
he will be later.
Hey, can y'all see? Me and John broke ground tonight. I mean, I agreed on three things that John Granger had put out there. Come on now. That's breaking ground, man.
Yeah. Did you see the day on our group, Frank, that I got called an Argos hater?
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
totally,
man. I was cracking up.
But you know what?
I had to take a step back on that one. He says, obviously, you're an Argos hater. And I said, whoa, me? I've been called that about Riders before, but there isn't any team I just honestly hate. But you know, I got schooled.
But your reputation precedes you. You come across as a hater in the sense that you know, you're a BC fan. You're a typical CFL fan. You know, CFL fans. We only got about 30 seconds left, but I've done this 60 actually. CFL fans are the type that they're very loyal to their teams, and you know, and it's part of in the Canadian blood where we're not a very argumentative people, but we are when it comes to football. I don't know why, but you know, there's a side that isn't truly Canadian when I look at the fans of the CFL, and there might be some out there that get really irritated, but because there's some really not nice fans there. And I'm not talking about any particular team. I'm talking, generally speaking, there is a smattering of that kind of person in every team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is what it is. But it's the passion that they bring to the game, and that's why we're here. And I'm really glad that for those of you that get a chance to listen to it live, I'm sorry that you don't call in. I wish you would. This has been the Candid Frank live show on Blog Talk Radio. On Mondays and Fridays, football, Wednesdays, lacrosse, and Sundays, hockey. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Red Blacks.
Cheers.
Red Blacks. Red Blacks.
No. Not what they did to Glenn.
And Mike has left the building. Good night, folks.